You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
To make you feel good tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit more uplifting show planned for you this week than we had the last. Of course, circumstances and events shaped last week's broadcast. A lot of carnage in our neck of the woods, but this week it's a little bit better. And welcome to the broadcast that we have prepared for you this Saturday evening, September the 17th. I'm James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander. We had originally planned to talk with Brother Nathaniel tonight. Brother Nathaniel had been booked a few weeks out. As a matter of fact, we're booked pretty much solid through the middle of next month. We've got a lot of guests lined up and waiting. Of course, if certain events happen and we need to work somebody in for a topic that they're particularly suited for, we can always do that. That's show business. But anyway, I had to reschedule Brother Nathaniel for October the 15th. We actually had, I think I told the story on the air, we had a listener and a supporter up in Montana who just happened to run into Brother Nathaniel in Idaho a few weeks ago. And they got to talking about his appearances on the Political Cesspool, and this is a listener emailed me and told me about it. And I said, yeah, we hadn't talked to Brother Nathaniel in a minute. And anyway, I talked to Brother Nathaniel a couple of days ago. We have to reschedule him for next month, but that's okay. When we talk to him then, it'll be just as exciting. He's always a great guest. But let me tell you who is coming in tonight now. Guest we haven't talked to, I don't think, since maybe 2005, 2006, sometime around then. We were back on the air five nights a week back then in those days. And one of our regulars at the time was a man by the name of Harry Cooper. Harry Cooper is the founder of Shark Hunters, and that's an organization that exists to tell the history of the U-boats without propaganda and to bring former enemies together as friends. This organization actually organizes tours of Europe where members can meet with the German veterans themselves, and together they visit the various historic sites of the Second World War. You are really going to be in for an enthralling and riveting second hour when we bring Harry Cooper back to the show for the first time in a long time. That's what's coming up tonight. But first, let's get down to the news. Keith, are you ready to cover some news tonight? Keith and I were talking last night prepping this show, and there's a lot of news to cover.
Yeah, you hear me?
I guess he's there. There he is. There he is. Yes, he's on the phone.
Yeah, I said, I'm ready, willing, and able.
Okay, there he is. Well, let's start with this one very quickly, a quick hit to get things started. We had a lot of news we were going to cover last week until all of the tragedy hit Memphis. We've got a lot that we need to alleviate the logjam. Let's go first to the latest national news race hoax or hate hoax. You had this black female volleyball player for Duke University. She was at a game against Brigham Young University in Utah, and she just, by all accounts, made up out of thin air that some of the fans were calling her the dreaded N-word, and this made national news without any evidence whatsoever. And you had black sports commentators like Stephen A. Smith offering a bounty if somebody would come forth and present the people who were using the dreaded N-word. Well, Brigham Young University did an exhaustive and an intensive investigation into this. And they went so far as to look at all of the footage of the game, where they took out everything but the crowd noise. They took people's cell phones that were in the area where this was supposed to have happened. Nobody captured it. It did not happen. It did not happen. So this is Jussie Smollett with a volleyball. You have stories like this that happen almost monthly now in America. But what happened was you had international coverage of the hoax or the false claim that this had happened. International coverage, browbeating whites. And then when it inevitably comes out to be a lie, you barely hear about it. The retraction isn't nearly as loud, is it, Keith?
No. Just imagine if this actually was true. What would it, remember the guy at the University of Pennsylvania that shouted down into the courtyard something about water buffaloes, and some big fat black girls took offense at it? You saw what happened to him. On the other hand, this volleyball player can make this stuff up out of thin air, and there will be no price to be paid. Remember the Duke lacrosse hoax, where a black stripper claimed that she was raped by a bunch of lacrosse players.
Well, see, this isn't even the first race hoax that's happened at Duke, for God's sake.
No, they said Duke seems to be the home of race hoaxes. And by the way, Mike Krzyzewski, the legendary basketball coach, has quit. David Cutcliffe, the legendary football coach, has quit. They have a black, I guess, chancellor or president of the university now. So things are getting worse rather than better up at Duke. Of course, they're trying to keep up with their betters, Harvard and Yale, in the racial sweepstakes in America, which is how much can slander white people and elevate unfairly and undeservedly black people. That seems to be the common thread that seems to run through public education in America. But this girl will stick to her guns. She will claim it was done, even though all the evidence shows it was not done, and that it's a blood libel against white people generally and the white people at Brigham Young University, which has a reputation for being one of the whitest universities, major universities in America. And it doesn't matter what the truth is. They'll run with the lie every time in the national media, won't they?
Well, so that's right. Well, they're going to run with it in the national media. You had innumerable celebrities and elected officials rushing to this liar's side. And I have to call her a liar, because if an investigation didn't turn up any proof and nobody in the crowd heard it, she's the only one that heard it. Something's weird about that. But and then it just pivots to, well, okay, maybe it didn't happen, but it could have happened. It could have happened, and so, you know, this is
what
we need
to talk
about.
Well, we need to tell you, it's like the thing is, you have to believe.
Keith, you're going to have to, if you're inside, you're going to have to step out. I think it's breaking up just a little bit. I don't know where you are in your
reception
zone.
Okay, let me do that. I'm going to come out
Now. Keith is broadcasting via phone tonight from his limestone keep that he lives in, and sometimes, you know, the reception can't penetrate those stone.
Okay, I'm going outside. If you hear some traffic noise in the back,
that's okay. No, you're good.
As long as
you're
it's not good. Ezekiel Kelly, I think we're all right. But anyway, what I was going to say.
Well, Keith, the music's just starting. Why don't you get on a perch there, and we'll put a little aluminum foil on that wire hanger, and we'll get you patched in clear, and then we're going to come back. So much more to talk with Keith about this hoax. True racial discrimination from Bank of America, the Jackson, Mississippi water crisis, so much more. We'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
All right, back very quickly. Just Keith, a final parting shot on this race hoax that captivated national attention. Well, it really didn't captivate anything except for the hoax, but the media sure ran with it like it was an important thing. And
no, it captivated the media, but no one else. Except
yeah,
for
right.
the,
well,
you were
again,
mentioning
it,
all of these. Go ahead.
Yeah, go. No, well, I was just going to say, if we covered all of these, it would be the only thing we covered because they are so countless, but this one was particularly noteworthy.
They crop up like crabgrass in your front yard. But you said there were a bunch of celebrities that jumped on the Duke, the Black Duke volleyball players bandwagon. Let's get the names of those people and boycott them. Don't buy their records. Don't watch their movies. Don't get on their Instagram account or anything like this. Block them. Shame them. Shun them. That's the best thing we can do to them, because these people, why are they doing it in the first place? Because they are media hounds, because they are narcissists. They just love the spotlight. They don't care what they get the spotlight for. They want to be on the quote-unquote right side of history, and they want to get the kudos of that. They need to be taught a very strong lesson that there is a negative to all of this, trying to be a virtue signaler, and we need to make them pay that price. These people are trash. People like the Kardashians, utter trash. These people are basically subhuman, and we do not need to be supporting them in their perverted lifestyles.
All right, let's switch gears here. As I said, we have a lot to cover, making up for last week when a singular issue dominated the program. Let's talk about, well, let's go back to the, now this was mentioned on last week's show, but just in passing, to compare the state of affairs in Jackson, Mississippi to the state of affairs in Memphis, but the Jackson water crisis. So I actually saw a video of this, Keith. A woman had posted this to social media, and she turned on the bathroom sink, the sink in her bathroom. And I'm not saying the water was a little bit dirty looking or a little bit brown. It looked like pure sludge. It looked like a Yoo-hoo. That had to be raw sewage. And who's getting blamed for it? Not the people in charge. Not the people, the black nationalist, white-hating mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, not the 85% black city, not the leadership of the 85% black city, but white people who aren't even there. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, Keith.
Exactly. And the people in Mississippi are probably the most racially aware group of white people in the world, okay? Or at least in America. And because of that, they reacted totally different to unreasonable black demands and this presumption that we're supposed to coddle black people, save them from their own dysfunction, save them from their own incompetence by stepping up and providing them with a safe water system. They have the money, the tax money to do it, but they'd rather spend that money creating jobs for their cronies, feather bedding jobs, seat warmer jobs. That's what Lumumba, the mayor of Jackson, does with the money there. Basically, his goal, I think, is to make sure that every black person in Jackson has a government job with the city. Well, and the whites are supposed to ignore that and be big-hearted and provide them with all the stuff that they should be providing for themselves. They can't provide it for themselves.
I got to ask you this, Keith. I was just going to ask you, what actually is the reasoning why whites are to blame for this, considering they're not in charge? Why are whites to blame for the failure of a majority black city and a majority black city leadership?
Because we are supposed to make sure that black people who live in a first world nation live first world lives. But unfortunately, like we've said on this show many times, you can't have a first world community with a third world population. That's a lesson like the law of gravity that most people haven't learned, don't want to learn. So we're supposed to, if something's wrong in the lives of black people, it's never the fault of black people, it's the fault of white people. Well, in Mississippi, unlike Memphis, for example, in Memphis, the elites in our 65% black town bend over backwards to do nice things for black people all the time. And of course, there's no gratitude. The more you do it, the more they expect. It's a bottomless pit of neediness. In Jackson, Mississippi, Mississippi elites said, hell no, we're not going to do that. Look, you've taken over this city. It was gift wrapped to you, handed to you on a silver platter, and you've turned it into Haiti. We're not going to do it. All the white people, they basically said the last white person out of Jackson, Mississippi, turn off the lights. They've moved to these suburbs like Madison, Mississippi, and Ridgeland, Mississippi, and Pearl, Mississippi, yep. Clinton, Mississippi, all those things. There's only 15% white population in Jackson, and that's apparently not enough even when they tax them out of their skulls. That's not enough to provide Jackson with all the amenities they expect in a first world nation.
I guess it's easy.
They've got to take some responsibility themselves. That's the whole thing. Black people want all the benefits of being in the first world and none of the burdens, none of the responsibilities. They want all the freedoms, none of the responsibilities, all the benefits, none of the burdens.
I guess it would be easier to just blame everything on the phantom specter of racism than to take accountability.
Honkies are doing it again.
Well, very quickly, I got to move on, but is the water running in Jackson again? I mean, what's going on? I haven't heard an update on that.
Well, what I know is who knows and who cares. I can tell you this. Jackson is the state capital of Mississippi. They have a little part of downtown, which is the state capital area. Everything's running fine there because it's under white control. What they ought to do in these black-run cities generally, and in Jackson in particular, is have the governor of the state say, you people have proven that you're incapable of governing yourself. This city government cannot provide city services, so we're going to revoke your charter, and we're going to run Jackson's government out of the state. We'll hire all the teachers. We'll hire all the employees, all the policemen, and you don't worry your little, pretty little heads about it. Of course, they won't be in charge of the patronage, so they'll scream bloody murder. But that's the only solution to this thing. If people, they did that to a town in Tennessee, Mason, Tennessee. They revoked their charter because they put a black mayor in charge, and basically all she was doing was stealing all the money. This is what we've got to do. we've got that. This is time, drastic times call for drastic measures. And I think what needs to happen. Memphis had its charter removed back in the 1870s when the yellow fever epidemic decimated the leadership cadre.
All right. Well, I could tell you this. That's an interesting idea. And if state legislatures that are Republican-dominated, like the ones in Tennessee and Mississippi currently, had any balls, maybe they would do that. But alas. But I'll tell you this. The citizens of Jackson will feel a lot better the next time they go to a Bank of America. Now, can you believe this? Bank of America, one of the biggest banks in the world, has come out full-throated and has this new program where it's zero down and you don't pay any closing costs for a new home mortgage if you're black. Keith, can you imagine? I don't want to be naive here. Very few people in white advocacy have seen and been through more than we have. But Could you imagine if a bank said, okay, guys, here's the new program we're offering, zero down. You don't have to pay anything down on your home and no closing costs, but only for whites. What they're doing here has to be illegal. It has to be.
Well, it is illegal. And if you enforced the 1964 Civil Rights Act according to the letter of the law, according to its own language, this would be against the law, and they would prosecute the leaders of the Bank of America. But, of course, we have one-way – you've heard one-way streets. They have one-way justice in America today. White people don't need to take their business to a bank that doesn't care for them, that basically has shown that they hate white people. So screw you, Bank of America, run out of California. Go shove it where the sun don't shine. We're not going to put our money in there. You can deal with all the black folks. You can deal with all the uproars in your banking lobbies when they come in and find out they don't have any money in their account and they raise Cain about it. This is what, you know, if they want that type of business, by golly, let them have it. That's what they can have. They need to bear the consequences of their own stupidity, their own mendacious, their own evil nature.
Whole thing, and of course, they always will expect a bailout. I mean, the Republicans have gotten a little bit better on these issues. They should be the ones. I don't know if any Republicans have gone after Bank of America for this, but this all goes back to the so-called predatory
lending. The Republican Party needs to do is acknowledge that white people are their base, and they need to serve their base in the way that the Democrats serve their base.
All right. We'll be right back. More on this, and I got to tell you story about a judge. We'll tell you that story in a minute.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Newly revealed text messages show Mississippi Governor Republican Phil Bryan was involved in the state paying more than $1 million in welfare money to football legend Brett Favre to help fund one of his projects. The money was funneled through a nonprofit group and spent on a new $5 million volleyball facility. The Mississippi Community Education Center Executive Director Nancy New pled guilty to misspending welfare money in April. She also agreed to testify against others, and that's where the text came from. Sports writer Skip Bayless on Fox Sports 1.
The one thing I'm pretty sure about is Brett Favre will not be seen in any more national TV commercials from this point forward.
It should be noted Brett Favre has not been charged with any criminal wrongdoing at this time. Good news for America's economy. A tentative agreement in the possible railroad strike has been reached. The White House said in a statement that the tentative deal is an important win for the economy and the American people. The Department of Justice unsealed an indictment on Wednesday against three Iranian nationals charged with malicious computer activity between October of 2020 and August of 2022. The defendants are accused of exploiting known and publicly disclosed vulnerabilities in commonly used network devices and software programs to get access to victims' computer networks. Hunter Biden is trying to get his child support payments for his four-year-old child out of wedlock lowered by claiming a substantial change to his financial circumstances. President Biden's 52-year-old son has asked an Arkansas judge to recalculate the child support payments he makes to London Roberts, the mother of the daughter he's never met. Thursday Night Football tonight is an AFC West showdown. The Chargers at the Chiefs is only streaming on Prime Video. USA Radio News.
Paid for by government.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-875-4000.
1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Keith mentioned to me something last night, a concept that I thought was interesting. So we're going to let him run with it here in just a moment. And Keith, I'll remind you of what that was that you told me in just a second. But first, I just want to wrap this up with regards to Bank of America offering zero down and no closing costs to non-white borrowers.
And non-whites only.
Yeah, that's right. No, it says it's exclusively for non-whites. I think it said blacks and Hispanics, but... certainly, in no uncertain terms, whites are excluded from this deal. And they let that be known. I mean, that's just flat out in black and white in your face, pun intended, in your face. But going back to this, are there any parallels between this and the so-called predatory lending? They called it predatory. See, if you give them loans that they can't repay, that becomes predatory lending. But if you don't give it to them in the first place, then you're discriminating. So either way, they've got you. They're going to get what
that's
they need.
That's redlining, as they call it.
Well, is there parallels between the economic collapse that was suffered during the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac situation to what's going on here with Bank of America now? And I mean, obviously, these people are going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, what we learned in the banking failure back around 2008, 2007, the Bush administration was bound and determined they were going to expand black home ownership. Blacks had been invidiously discriminated against. They were not allowed to have homes. That's why they're so poor now. The so-called pernicious redlining by financial institutions that would not make loans on real estate located in certain bad neighborhoods because they knew that the collateral would not cover the loan if there was a default. And there were plenty of defaults. So that's what they did, but they learned that black people really don't want to be homeowners. It happened with the Habitat for Humanity homes, too. I remember when Jimmy Carter was here in town building all these homes, and they were giving them away to black people. Well, guess what? They had to stop giving them away to black people. You know why? Because Cousin Sylvester is liable to get thrown in jail, and then he needs a bail bond, and they don't have the money to back them up, so... the bail bondsman takes a mortgage on the Habitat for Humanity home, and the next thing you know, the bail bondsman owns a home, and these people are back where they were, homeless. Well, that's what they, in the 2008 mortgage bubble, they found that black people did not want to be homeowners. They tended to have more chaotic lives than the typical white citizens. They're liable to go to jail for a while. They're liable to lose their job. They're liable to be sick. They're liable to have all sorts of reasons why they're no longer earning money. And when that happens, they'd much rather be on the hook for 6 months of unpaid rent than 30 years of unpaid mortgage payments. And a lot of them had to take bankruptcy. And again, whose fault is that? That pernicious, evil, arch-villain of all time, the honky-tonk honkies that are... running things for the, evilly scheming for ways to trip up black people and prevent them from reaching their true potential of being the leaders of America and turning black neighborhoods into Wakanda.
Okay, let's move to this. Going back to that, I guess this is sort of tangentially related. You were talking last night to me about how critical race theory and the myth of white privilege has served as a catalyst in what we've seen in Memphis and, frankly, in Jackson as well.
Exactly. What happened in Memphis, of course, just to remind our audience, first of all, you had a jogger who happened to be an elite socialite Memphian a billionaire, abducted, raped, and murdered by a black career thug named Cleotha Abston or Henderson, take your pick. And then we had a black teenager, 19-year-old Ezekiel Kelly, that went on a shooting rampage intentionally seeking out white people to kill. He killed four people and wounded three more, so with a total body count of seven. And I said at the time, after I had some time to think about it, this is the bitter fruit of critical race theory and white privilege studies being taught to young people. I'm sure that Ezekiel Kelly went to school, and the one thing that I know that he learned all about was white privilege and critical race theory and how white people are the people responsible for all the dysfunction in the ghetto, in the black neighborhoods. And that is what people on the right have focused on for the most part when they talk about critical race theory, is the negative effects it has on the self-esteem of white children. Of course, that is exactly part of cultural Marxism. Critical theory and critical race theory is part of that, is supposed to induce cultural pessimism. In other words, I'm a bad person. I can't get out my cart out of the ditch. I deserve all the misfortune that I suffer in life through affirmative action and stuff like this. That is one of the hallmarks of cultural Marxism. But we have not focused on what I think is the primary focus and target of the left teaching critical race theory and white privilege. That is the effect on black children. They're trying to enrage them so that there can be a race war. I think that the left undoubtedly is trying to foment a race war in America. And this is the way they're doing it. And apparently it's bearing fruit for them, like Ezekiel Kelly's rampage. They're going after the white people, and that's what they want. That's what they intended.
That's good.
Things are working according to plan.
Good theory. And, you know, these are the kind of conversations that need to be had in the public square. And we've been having them for a long, 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 long time here at this particular venue. Others are doing it now, more so certainly than ever before, or at least, you know, since we've been on the air. And you're getting this now, but and that's a necessary first step, I guess. You have to be able to talk about it before you can come to logical conclusions and solutions. Otherwise, you'll...
This was not something that was unexpected, nor was it something that the left dislikes. The left is secretly smiling about Ezekiel Kelly and Eliza Fletcher. And there are a lot of white people.
Well, hey, some of them, not even so secretly. I mean, you saw just an untold number of celebrations on social media from Black Lives Matter and people like that, people that would be right at home in groups like that. I don't know if they were necessarily members, but they were participants in any of the riots. But, you know, you saw it all over social media, people laughing about the fact that this had happened and cheering on the murderer.
Well, it's like people on the alt-right used to talk about the boogaloo, the coming race war. Well, this is the way that a lot of the black population was, and the liberals were responding to this. So this is not something that they're wringing their hands and worried about. They're not worried about that at all. And the conservatives, the so-called mainstream conservatives, they'll describe this and bemoan it and whatnot, but they'll never say the B word, black. Or any other.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Like one that starts with J.
Last week.
So, you know, that's what they. The thing is, we have people that will not represent their base. Republicans, Fox News commentators, for the most part, will not say what the real truth is. They won't use the B word. For example, Tucker Carlson had a really good little vignette of about 8 to 9 minutes on this, but he's talked about Biden voters. Yeah. Biden voters sending Instagrams saying, this girl, what was she doing? What does she expect? Why do we have all this concern and heartburn over the murder of rape of one white girl when all these black girls are being raped and nothing being said about it. Well, he couldn't bring himself, rather than Biden voters, to say black, okay? That's who was sending those text messages. That's who was sending those Instagram messages. But until we get people that will acknowledge the reality that there is, you know, a fight, a confrontation between white interests and black interests in America that is driving everything and is behind politics generally, then we haven't got a chance. You can't win a war when you're afraid to name the enemy or identify the enemy. Yep. Who's doing it? Right? I guess it's those darn Eskimos again.
Democrats, liberals, you know, this goes back to the whole, we want to go to a good school. Well, what's the difference between a good school and a bad school? It is always the racial demographics. I mean, that is it. And that is by far the largest determining factor as to whether or not, we wanted to move out of the downtown area 50 miles away from where we work so we could get a good school. I mean, come on.
Drop all the code and language and all the pretense. See, this is what this unquestioned worship of the Civil Rights Movement has led to. We've got to tell people the truth about the Civil Rights Movement. It was a stage production. It was as bad as other left-wing movement.
We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Family, it's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Come celebrate the supreme law of the land at Loving Liberty's Constitution Day Dinner. Have you ever asked yourself, what's so great about America? Find out with guest speakers Lawrence Reed from Atlanta and Jeff Utch from Tucson, Arizona. We will also be introducing our new podcast, Ask an Immigrant. Join us Saturday, September 17th at 7 p.m., located at Liberty Hall, 3677 North 2000 West, Far West, Utah. Get your tickets today at lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Wasn't a bigger band in the land in the early 1970s than that one, with a unique lineup of three lead singers. They had three lead singers. Normally, you know, a group just has one.
Do you remember who made the original recording of that, James?
I do not.
B.W. Stevenson. Kind of a progressive country guy.
Yeah, he did
My Maria, and he also did Shambhala. Those are his two big hits.
My Maria. But wow, no, I did not know that. I figured.
And you know what BW stood for?
No,
you know what BW stood for?
Bob Whitaker?
No, buckwheat.
Ah, there you go. That's good stuff. We always like to work in a little bit of pop music trivia here. All right. Well, let's get back to it then. I couldn't find this story, and then I found it again. We were talking about this last night. So you have this young, relatively young female judge. She's younger than me. And in her early 40s. And there's a big headline in the Washington.
She got burned with maleness. If she were a male, no, she probably wouldn't have gotten that judgeship. Go ahead.
Well, here's the headline in the Washington Post. And her name is Aileen Cannon. And the headline in the Washington Post, in ruling for Trump, low-profile judge invites scrutiny. Low-profile judge Aileen Cannon invites scrutiny. So here's what you've got, Keith. I mean, this is about as subtle as a ton of bricks. If you are a judge, how many judges got this message? If you're a judge and you rule in a way that goes
without
against the system,
this is
you can expect this something like this in the Washington Post, the New York Times. You're going to be called low profile. You're going to get scrutinized. This headline, man, in ruling for Trump, low profile judge invites scrutiny. Well, what did she do that was so bad in the eyes of the Washington Post?
She violated political correctness. They're after her scalp. Don't make any mistake about that. They are not just going to scrutinize her. They're scrutinizing her with a mind towards finding something that will allow them to impeach her, because they will not tolerate an unbiased judge, a judge that is liable to unpredictably vote for one side or another. They want somebody that is in their hip pocket, like most of the federal judges. Why do you think they're so angry about the U.S. Supreme Court now? They weren't angry back in 1954 when the Brown decision came down based on nothing, basically. No legal precedent, no legislative history, no statutory construction, but a sociology project by a half-baked black sociologist. All the way through the 60s and the Civil Rights Revolution, they didn't have any problem with the judges, particularly in the Supreme Court, but now they do. Because what do you know, they've started voting and ruling in a way that doesn't please the ruling left-wing cabal in America. That's what it's all about. They basically want an autocracy. Voltaire's idea of I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. That's the furthest thing from the mind of today's liberals. Today's liberals want to rule you. They say that if you're not a progressive, you're a Nazi and need to be destroyed. That's what this judge is facing now.
Well, here's what the Washington Post reports. In Cannon's, this is Judge Aileen Cannon again, the low-profile judge that's now going to get scrutiny because she
The low-IQ judge is kind of like the impression they're trying to give you.
Right, yeah, she's just a joke, basically. The Post writes, Cannon's controversial ruling, which she called necessary to, quote, ensure at least the appearance of fairness and integrity under the extraordinary circumstances, end quote, temporarily bars investigators from using the documents seized last month from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. The order has been criticized by legal experts for seeming to extend special treatment to Trump and for disrupting the probe. Keith?
Look, America is as democratic as the Union was in 1921. Basically, can you imagine a judge ruling against a Cheka? Well, that's what you're seeing here. America's Cheka, which is, that would not have sat well with Lenin or Stalin or any of the communist leaders of the Soviet Union. And you're seeing a replay of that now in America. We thought, you know, the past is prologue to the future. We are now basically losing everything that we thought America stood for. And we have become more and more like the Soviet Union and are becoming more like it every day.
All right, let's pause there very quickly with about 5 minutes left this hour. I want to remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, You're going to be in for a unique treat in the second hour. We're going to get off of current events and news and headlines. This is a current affairs program, by and large, but every now and then we like to have a little indulgence, and you're going to get that in the next hour when we bring back to the show for the first time in, God, about 15 years, if it's been a day, Harry Cooper, my old friend. Harry's another one of these guys that I met before the show even started, so we've known each other for a long time, although up until this week we had not talked in a long time, and I called Harry up on the phone, and we talked, God, I don't know, 30 minutes or longer, and just had a good time. And so he's going to come back on the show tonight. And he is the founder of Shark Hunters. And we're going to tell you more about that organization, what they do, why he started it. And I think if you're interested in World War II history, you're going to be fascinated by this guy. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up in just a moment. In the meantime, we want to send Sam Dixon and Kevin McDonald straight to your house. We want to put Sam Dixon and Kevin McDonald in your living room. And not the real guys, but this DVD that we're all... Well, you know, we could send the real guys. It depends on how much you want to contribute. I mean, everything's got a price. But no, this DVD, that is our third quarter fundraising drive incentive. By the way, our crucial third quarter fundraising appeal has now reached its halfway point. A couple of days ago it did. We've only got a couple of weeks left. These quarterly fundraising drives make or break whether or not we're going to be able to stay on the air. So we've got this DVD. Generous supporters of TPC, if you can contribute $100 or more, by the time we pay postage, it's pretty much a break-even proposition. It's like a dollar for a stamp now, for a letter, 60 cents. Anyway, if you donate $100 or more before September 30th, you're going to receive this DVD. It's a 90-minute TPC double feature, and it's in remarkably high HD quality. It's speeches delivered at the League of the South's annual conference back in the summer. I had a conflict that weekend. I was actually up with Sam Bushman in Branson that weekend. And so I didn't get a chance to go and speak to the League of the South event this year. But Sam Dixon and Kevin McDonald did. And this is the DVD. This is you can only get this DVD through TPC and only during this month's fundraising appeal. So we would ask that you support the work of this program. Take advantage of this exclusive offer and help keep our program on the air. We're going to send you this DVD. You can put some popcorn in the microwave. You're going to spend an evening with two of your all-time favorite guests on this program. So please do that. If you've not yet contributed, if you're a regular contributor, I know there's some people that contribute every month, every quarter, some from time to time. We would ask that you send in a contribution if you are so moved. And we will send these out in the mail. I actually watched the DVD. I pulled one out of the box and popped it in and watched it. And they just it looks very, very sharp. And, of course, the content, anything delivered by Sam and Kevin is going to be great. Keith, I got to get one of these to you, brother. Do you have a DVD player? Or are you still working on VHS technology?
No. And I was wondering with this guy from Shark Hunters whether you had a Rolodex. Because it's been about that long since we had him on the show.
But I Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was thinking about that optic of having Sam Dixon and Kevin McDonald in your living room. I can see Jimmy Kimmel or Seth Rogen or somebody waking up in the middle of the night screaming because they had a dream that that happened.
Well, there was somebody that said that. It was the girl who plays Katniss in The Hunger Games, Jennifer Lawrence, this Hollywood tart, said that she has nightmares about Tucker Carlson. Of course, you know, this is just one of those things that you know she can never prove, so I guess we're going to have to take her word for it. She's having nightmares because of Tucker Carlson. She's probably more like having fantasies about Tucker Carlson, but in any event, yeah.
Well, she'll be yes, like the youth volleyball player. She'll probably charge him with rape because she dreamt about it or something like that, you know. And we're supposed
yeah,
to
I mean, why
question
not?
Women. You're supposed to believe them when they
Keith.
Tell you all this outlandish foolishness about how they've been raped or sexually and whatnot. Brett Kavanaugh can
yeah,
tell
don't give
you
him
all
any
about.
Ideas. Don't give him any ideas. I mean, if there's one thing that America has proven over the course of the last 70 years, your worst nightmares can come true. Things you would have never thought you would have seen can all of a sudden
the
become
truth
reality.
Is stranger than here. Fiction.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, you've got now fiction. you've got second and third generation Holocaust survivors now because they say that the pain It can be transmitted through DNA. They're actually saying that.
To the birth canal. See, this is how many real, authentic Holocaust survivors can there be at this time?
Well, there's a lot. I tell you, if it's transmitted to the second or third generation, it's actually grown. There's more now than ever
before. Absolutely, yeah.
And it affects them just the same. It affects them just the same.
You know, I think Germany sends them millions of dollars every year based on this phony idea that you have all these Holocaust survivors around that are still suffering as a result of what happened in the so-called Holocaust.
Well, you hear the same thing with slavery. I mean, we know that only blacks were slaves and only whites were slaves. We know that, obviously. Nobody ever suffered slavery except
for
blacks.
White
they still got to be repatriated. They're getting repatriated hundreds of years later. Well, listen, speaking of Germany, let's go talk to Harry Cooper in the next hour. Keith, we're going to bring you back in the third hour. We're going to talk about Queen Elizabeth's death. We didn't get to talk about that last week, so we're going to talk about that in the third hour. Harry Cooper up next. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.